Hello, I'm Tom Adkins, and today's verse comes from Romans, the book of 4, verses 1 through 3. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. I sold a painting last week. I have an interior decorator I work with in New York City, and she wanted a picture. She wanted a picture with blues to fit the room, a specific size. Didn't say anything about how good the picture needed to be. She was measuring it by size and color. And so I went into the studio and measured my available paintings. I found one, measured it. It was blue. Took a picture of it and sold it. It's kind of nice, but honestly, it was a picture I didn't like that much. I judged it kind of differently than she did, but size to her was important. I have another patron from China. He's bought several paintings, and he always asks me the size of a painting because he lives in this small place. He can only take some of my smaller paintings, and he asks me the size, and he wants it in centimeters. So I pull out my rulers that have every available scale on there, and I measure it and make sure it'll fit, and then he decides whether or not he wants to buy it. We live in a world where everything is measured. That's the way our world works. If you want something, you work for it, you earn it. And often, we are measured by things that we can see. Our jobs, what we make, where we live, what we wear, what we do. All of it's stuff that we're measured by. And that thought has permeated other parts of our world. It's permeated it to the point that most of us believe we even have to earn love. We have to be worthy. Love is a balancing act, that if we do this, then we earn that much love. Everything has to be measured. Value has to be judged. Our faith has to be judged by what we do and what we don't do, what we say or what we wear, the music we listen to. Yeah, that whole idea has permeated our faith. And so we often have this transactional way of looking at God's love. If you do this, you get more of God's love. And if you do that, or wear this, or sing that, or believe that way, you either earn His love, or you don't. And so we often find ourselves trying to earn our way into heaven. And we measure ourselves, and we measure others, almost strictly by what we do and what we produce, and we measure other people the same way. Paul is writing to the church in Rome. It's not a church he founded. Tradition says Peter founded it, but there's no really evidence behind it. We don't know who founded it. But Rome is the center of the world, and it was a place where travelers went to constantly. So it could have been any believer from the Holy Land, or even someone who traveled from one of the churches that Paul had founded. By the time Paul is writing this letter, the church in Rome is well established. He makes references later in the chapter that make us think it's been there a while. Earlier in the chapter, he talks about news of Corinth, which is where he's living when he writes this particular epistle. He talks about people in the church at Corinth as if the people in Rome would know them, which is not unlikely because Corinth was a shipping city, and Rome would be one of those places where the whole world traveled. Unlike a lot of his letters, in the book of Romans, Paul does not talk much about local issues. Instead, he dives directly into doctrine. In some ways, Romans is perhaps the most complete doctrinal letter we have. It's as if he's trying to explain the whole of the gospel all at once. Perhaps as if he was asked to do this from a church that was long on growth and activity, but still low on understanding. And so, when we read Romans, we're dealing with universal issues, not just local issues. So when he says, what are then we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. What he's saying is universal. You see, the Roman church was dealing with something we still deal with today. people and their faith, even their salvation, were being measured by what they gave, or what they did, or what their status was. And it was common, very common. And why not? I mean, you can understand why. It's how we do it in life. It's easy to measure. We can measure a big car, or a title, or brass plaques, or large gifts to the church. You can measure those things. You can see them. But, Paul tells us, that's not the way God works. And he talks about Abraham, the father of the Jewish faith. You remember Abraham, don't you? Early in the Bible, we hear about Abraham, and he had a big, successful sheep business. Lots of sheep, lots of servants. His household was large, we're told. The Bible tells us it had many tents. He was supporting a whole community. At the same time, he had no children. In the world that Abraham lived in, much like the world we live in, he would have been measured by his success, the amount of his household, the size of his family. This is what we're told when Paul writes, "For if Abraham was justified works, he has something to boast about, but not before God." But Paul says, that's not how Abraham was measured. Verse 3, "For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." He believed. That's all. He believed. Now, all that other stuff was nice, and it shows a responsible man, and it's good stuff. But it was his belief that mattered to God. Now, normally, our belief will shape how we live. If we believe in being kind, we will be kind. If we believe in compassion, we will be compassionate. If we believe in love, we will live in love. We will show patience. We'll be gentle. We'll worship. We'll be filled with a winsome Holy Spirit. Do you notice what's not there? Our wealth, our position, what we drive, or the size of our bank account, the music we like, or the fashions we wear, all that surface stuff. What matters is that we believe. We may not be wholly where we want to be in our Christian journey. We may have some quirks that seem a bit unholy. I can give you a list of mine for sure. But I believe, and perhaps you believe, and I try as best as I can to live my life in accordance to what Jesus tells us, according to my reading and my study and my understanding. I don't know, you might have your own list of unholy things, quirky stuff, or past behaviors, or downright keep it in the closet stuff. Most of us do. And so do others all around us. Maybe someone you know. Maybe there's someone you know who's struggling, and maybe there's reasons for it. There's poverty or addiction or childhood that did not prepare them for holy or loving living. But if they believe, if they are constantly on the journey, if we are constantly on the journey, trying, growing, making the effort, and we're doing it in belief, we are told that God counts that belief as righteousness. God said so in Genesis, talking of Abraham in the early parts of the Bible, and he says so in Romans through Paul towards the end of the Bible. And if God treats belief as righteousness, so should we. So here's what I'd ask of you this week. Be gentle with yourself on your journey. Be gentle with others on their journey. None of us are there yet. But God is measuring us differently than perhaps we imagine, not by size or wealth or what we do, but by our faith. Be gentle with yourselves. Be gentle with others. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, so often we beat ourselves up for our flaws, and without dismissing them, we ask that you teach us how to be gentle with ourselves, to understand that you do not measure us the way we too often measure ourselves, that you measure us by our belief and our faith, and the fact that we are making our journey in that belief and faith. It is not easy for us, God. we know this. And so we come to you and we pray for your help in our journey. Help us understand and measure ourselves and others, not the way we do it, but the way you do it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.